Good morning. Welcome to Concordia. We're glad that you're here, and we welcome guests or visitors that may be with us this morning. We invite everyone to sign the attendance pads that can be found at the ends of the pew in towards the center aisle. Today is a day honoring United Methodist women here in our congregation and around the world. And so you'll see a number of women leaders in today's service. I'd like to recognize the altar flowers this morning. Thank you for that gift. These are in memory of Roxanne Akala. Also, we had a gift to the nursery. There are two new children's rocking chairs and a doll cradle, and that's a gift from Ellie Hine. A few highlights in the announcements this morning. The Valentine's Day extravaganza is being planned, and that will be on Sunday, February 18th here in the Fellowship Hall. The leaders will be Karen and Kendall Schlittler from 2 to 4 p.m. Also notice that we're, I'm sure it's community-wide, there's a new program called Stock the Schools. And each month, different items that are needed in the schools are being asked to be collected in the congregations. So we have a bin, and this month they've been collecting granola bars, markers, folders, and glue sticks. But this week we turn to February, so once February begins, the collection will include fruit cups, new hairbrushes, combs, headbands, and barrettes. This year, once again, we have a chance to order tamales made by the Reedsburg Hispanic Ministry. And those forms are available this week. They're due next Sunday, February 4th. You can find the forms in the narthex at the back of the sanctuary. And the benefit for those proceeds will go to Hispanic ministries. Those tamales arrive on February 11th. And there will be a potluck lunch following worship that day. Tonight, there's a community meal here. And on Tuesday evening at 6:30, we have the outreach committee meeting. Doris has one announcement.
Good morning. I want to talk about this half sheet of paper that was in the bulletin, I think the last 3 weeks now. In November, when the church council met, we started a conversation about looking into the future. And we remember that in 1905, there was a congregation here who built this church. They were looking to the future because they wanted the message of Christ to be continued to be shared in this community. So what the church council is doing on the odd months, the odd second Tuesday of every month, is we're meeting to talk about what the future looks like for Concordia, and we're answering the questions that are on here. We don't believe that the leadership of church council are the only ones who have valued opinions. So we are inviting anyone who would like to fill this out to turn it in at the office. We also want you to know that when you see on the list of what's going on and you see church council, if you're not on the church council, that doesn't mean that you can't come to it. The church council meetings, the meetings in the church are always open, except for when staff parish is talking about personnel issues. But the meetings are always open. If you'd like to come and find out what's going on, please know that you are welcome. So for this year, the odd months, second Tuesday at 7 o'clock on the odd months, we'll be doing this visioning. And the even months, we will be doing the administrative ministries, talking about those issues that church councils usually talk about. Again, we want you to know that all the meetings are open and you're welcome to come to any of those. Thank you.
Are there any other announcements this morning? Let us then turn together to the responsive reading as printed in your bulletin. Oh, let's not do that yet. Let's have a hymn first. We will be singing God of Grace and Glory, number 577. The organized unit of the United Methodist Women shall be a community of women whose purpose is to know God.
And to experience freedom as whole persons through Jesus Christ.
To develop a creative, supportive fellowship.
And to expand concepts of mission through participation in the global ministries of the church.
There are 800,000 UMW members worldwide, with special emphasis upon women, youth, and children.
UMW supports missional activities and partnerships throughout every state in the nation and in over 100 countries around the world.
Please turn to hymn number 593, Here I Am, Lord.
Dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save.
It's a lovely hymn. This morning's reading is taken from Matthew 25, the judgment of the nations. Matthew 25, 34 to verse 40. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it when we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and we visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Thus ends the first reading.
Boys and girls, want to come forward? Good morning. So I want you to make yourselves comfortable. Like, how do you sit in school when your teacher reads a story? You cross your legs like that? Kind of get you all tucked in. Do you want to do that too? You can come sit closer. You're good there? That's good. Wherever you're comfortable. I have a wonderful story that I've been asked to read to you today. It's about good thoughts and good feelings. Do you know this story? Good. So you have to use your imagination a little bit because it talks about imagination, an imaginary bucket that we all have. That's the story. Okay, so let's look. All day long, everyone in the whole wide world walks around carrying an invisible bucket. Can you see people? They're dressed in different costumes or clothing from all over the world. You can't see it, but it's there. You have a bucket. Each member of your family has a bucket. Look at, who's that? The dog. Even the dog has a bucket. Isn't that so cute? Your great parents, friends, and neighbors all have a bucket. Everyone carries an invisible bucket. Well, what's that all about? Let's find out. Your bucket has one purpose only. Its purpose is to hold your good thoughts and your good feelings about yourself. Okay? When you feel happy and good, when your bucket is full, and you feel very sad and lonely. You see this little boy? When your bucket is empty. All right, let's find out more. Other people feel the same way too. They're happy when their buckets are full, and they're sad when their buckets are empty. It's great to have a full bucket. And this is how it works. Now let's see how it works. You need other people fill your bucket, and other people need you to fill their bucket. So this is how you fill a bucket. You fill a bucket when you show love to someone, when you say or do something kind, or even when you give someone a smile. You know how good that feels when somebody sees you and they smile? That's being a bucket filler. A bucket filler is a loving and caring person who says or does nice things that make others feel special. What do you think's going on here? What's that little girl doing? She's giving flowers, and look at her smile. When you make someone feel special, you are filling a bucket. But you can also dip into a bucket and take out some good feelings. You dip into a bucket when you make fun of someone, when you say or do mean things, or even when you ignore someone. Have you ever been ignored? Like somebody pretends you're not there? That's hurtful, isn't it? That's being a bucket dipper. A bully is a bucket dipper. A bucket dipper says or does mean things that make others feel bad. What happened there? Would somebody like to raise their hand and tell me what happened? What happened? He's pushing him. And what happens? Let's look. Oh no. School lunch. He pushed him and his tray of school lunch fell all over the floor. And look at how sad. His bucket is empty. Many people who dip in to other people's buckets have an empty bucket. They think they can fill their buckets by emptying someone else's, but that will never work. But guess what? When you fill someone's bucket, you fill your own bucket too. You feel good when you help others feel good. All day long, we each are filling up or dipping into each other's buckets. What we say and what we do, try and fill a bucket and see what happens. You love your mom and dad? Why not tell them, right? Why not tell them, and even tell them why? Your caring words will fill their buckets right up. Look at that mom. Isn't she pleased? And look at the dad. Watch for smiles to light up their faces. You will feel like smiling too. A smile is a good clue that you have filled a bucket. If you practice, you'll become a great bucket filler. And remember that everyone carries an invisible bucket, and think of what you can say or do to fill it. Write a note to your teacher, maybe. Take time and take a walk with your grandpa. There are many ways to fill a bucket. Bucket filling is fun and easy to do. It doesn't matter how young or old you are. It doesn't cost any money. It doesn't take much time. And remember, when you fill someone else's bucket, you fill your own bucket too. When you're a bucket filler, you make your home, your school, and your neighborhood better places to be. Bucket filling makes everyone feel good. So yesterday I was out shopping and I found this bucket. And I thought, you know, I think this is what my invisible bucket looks like. And inside are some hearts, good thoughts, and I want to share them with you. So I'm going to give everybody two. So you have one for yourself and one good kindness that you can give to somebody else, okay? It's for you. And they're stickers. You can stick them on something if you'd like. For you, you're welcome. And for you. You're welcome. And for you. You're welcome, and thank you for coming up and listening to my story today. Okay, you can go.
Thank you.
All organizations, or at least the good ones, have a purpose and a vision. This is the United Methodist Women's purpose. The organized unit of the United Methodist Women shall be a community of women whose purpose is to know God and to experience freedom as whole persons through Jesus Christ, to develop a creative, supportive fellowship, and to expand the concepts of mission through the participation in the global ministries of the church. Our vision is turning faith, hope, and love into action on behalf of women, children, and youth around the world.
Exactly how did the United Methodist Women get started?
Well, I'd love to share with you, Cindy, and the rest of you, how the United Methodist Women got started. It was back in 1869 when two wives of missionaries to India, Mrs. William Butler and Mrs. Edwin Parker, spoke on a rainy night in Boston to a group of six women who were gathered to hear about the conditions of the men or of the women and children in India. And so you might ask, so what were those conditions? So no women could be seen by male doctors, and schooling for girls were pretty much non-existent. And from that meeting came a second meeting. And this was not a social gathering, folks. They did not talk about the latest fashions or what they had heard of the news in the market. They were there to take action for what they heard from the two wives of missionaries of the conditions of those women and children in India. They were fired up. And so they had a very productive meeting. They elected officers. They decided dues were $1 a day, a year. Wish it was a day, no, a year. And they penned their reasoning for gathering and organizing. They said, for the purpose of engaging and uniting the efforts of the women of the church in sending out and supporting female missionaries and Native Christian teachers. And through their efforts, the Methodist Women's Foreign Missionary Society was formed. 6 months later, they sent two missionaries to India, one a female doctor and one a female teacher.
Who were these female missionaries that were sent to India?
Well, let me tell you, the first one was Isabella Thornburn, and she was an educator who actually started a school for six girls in the city of Lucknow. And they expanded this school to become the Isabella Thornburn College, which was the first college in Asia. And from the other woman was actually Dr. Clara Swine, and she began her medical work, which resulted in establishing the first women's hospital in Asia. And folks, those two institutions are still servicing the men and women and children of India today. So in just 6 months, this newly formed group of the Methodist Women's Foreign Ministry Society had raised enough money to support these two missionaries. They had bake sales, and guess what? We still do that today. They had teas, they sold eggs, and they gave sacrificially. They pulled their money together to reach their goal of sending missionaries to India. And ladies and gentlemen, this was our foundation, this is our legacy, and this is our beginning of the United Methodist Women, which exemplifies faith, hope, and love in action. A love that notices, a love that values and respects, and a love that is self-giving. And this is servant love.
So why does the mission and the vision of the United Methodist Women call for helping women and children to become a global advocate for them?
In the 1800s, women and children were legally classified as chattel, legally dead, non-persons. Women were considered the property of their fathers or husbands. There were few services to women because of prejudice and limitations of cultural attitudes in the church and in society. Women were the majority of those lacking education, health care, and proper nutrition, as well as access to systems that provide those resources. Today, women and children are still victims of oppression due to cultural or religious customs. They also suffer greatly from war and violence. To focus on the well-being of women has a great impact on the total community. Today, women are educators and caregivers in most family settings, hence sharing resources, knowledge, and tools with the larger community. United Methodist women strive to fulfill the mandate of Jesus Christ to care and provide for the least of these. And we call on the whole church and society to share in this call so women, children, and youth have a stronger voice in decisions affecting their lives. Women are still among the majority that lack health care, are illiterate, sometimes abused and malnourished. From the very beginning, United Methodist women were organized to provide education and health care for those needing it. United Methodist women took up issues of women's rights to vote, full clergy rights for women, civil rights, public education for all, fair labor practices, racial justice, and environmental and economic justice. These issues did not arrive in some neat prioritized order. Women worked on many of them at the same time, and those in this organization did not always agree on how these issues should be addressed. Like the wind, the spirit can seem to move in many directions at the same time. This is one of the reasons we need each other, to be able to address several issues simultaneously in different ways. At one time, women were not allowed in the pulpits to preach, so they proclaimed their dedication to Christ through service and advocacy on behalf of women and children. Some of the skills they were able to master were things like skill in public speaking, administrative skills, advocacy, and leadership skills, as well as fundraising skills, all of which have contributed to the success of the United Methodist Women's Organization.
The scripture read today by Gina is very fundamental to the mission and the vision of the United Methodist Women. The parable from Matthew 25 is perhaps the greatest sermon ever preached in the theme of compassion for the poor and the marginalized. If you see someone hungry and you fed them, Jesus says, "You fed me." If you see somebody hungry, you fed them. You fed me, Jesus says. If you failed to feed them, you failed to feed me. If you walked past someone without helping them, you've walked past me. If you meet a stranger and you welcome them, Jesus says, you've welcomed me. If you cared for the sick, you've cared for me. If you visited someone in prison, you visited me. So what this is telling us is that you cannot love Jesus without loving the poor, the needy, the imprisoned. The United Methodist Women, over the years, the 150 years of our history, have been advocates for many social issues. We understand that God's character is one of action and faithfulness, as exemplified by Jesus. We are all moved. Our God is one who speaks and acts. They are one and they are the same. You cannot speak the word of God without action. Love one another is a commandment that tells us to put our love into action. Women all over the world want the same for themselves, folks, and for their families. They want a good meal. They want a place to rest. They want security. They want joy. And they want a life of peace and love. And we are called to God so that all families can have these same basic needs met.
What missions do we support today that help women and children?
Concordia United Methodist Women have a rich history of supporting missions locally and globally. In just the past 7 years, with proceeds from our bazaars, we have given over $37,000 to missions. The following organizations have benefited from our donations over the past years. Besides supporting Hope House financially, we also purchase pillows and sew pillowcases for residents. Each person who comes to stay at Hope House is given a pillow and pillowcase. For some people who have had to leave their homes quickly due to a bad situation or domestic abuse, this may be the only personal item they have. So you can see in the front here, we already have 36 pillowcases and pillows ready to go up to Hope House just in January. Other organizations that have received donations from Concordia UMW include Sauk Prairie Food Pantry, 6-8, Hope Through Christ Ministries in Baraboo, Lynn's Legacy, Our Neighbor in Need, Concordia Good Samaritan Fund, and the Sauk Prairie School District Children in Need Program. Just for your information, this program does not receive funding from the annual school budget. It operates solely on donations from churches, organizations, and individuals in the area. Some examples of how these funds are used include food and gas cards for families in an emergency situation, purchasing snow pants, coats, boots, mittens, socks, personal care items, and even some clothing items. Scholarships are also given to some students for various situations, including helping with defraying costs associated with the driver's education class, or for students who would like to begin in the band program, they can apply for a scholarship for horn rental. There's various class and school trips that the family just cannot afford to send these children to these activities, but with these scholarships, the children are included and can take part in these. In turn, the scholarship recipient is asked to contribute back to the community by doing community service hours. Globally, we have made donations to Redbird Mission in Kentucky, UMCOR Disaster Relief, and of course to our missionary Paul Webster in Zambia. This past year, we dispersed funds totaling $6,500 from our bazaar profits to the following organizations: Concordia Youth Fellowship, Sauk County Habitat for Humanity, Hope House, United Methodist Children's Services and Northcott Neighborhood House in Milwaukee, and the United Methodist Hospital Ministries in Madison. Globally, we also supported Paul Webster. At the district level, we annually pledge to the Southwest District UMW. This past year, we pledged $1,000 to the Southwest District for mission projects that advocate for women, children, and youth needs worldwide. Two other donations collected from our local UMW members include a call to prayer and self-denial, which is collected during Lent, and then also in November, the thank offering, which is collected at the end of the year. Both of these collected donations are used for supporting programs that advocate for women, children, and youth nationally and internationally. This is why mission giving dollars is so important. We don't have to know where each and every last nickel and dime goes, but we must have faith that those making decisions for us are doing the best they can with God's guidance and prayer. And to send the $20 million or so mission dollars raised every year to where it is needed most, that takes faith and that takes purpose. United Methodist Women is the largest denominational faith organization for women with approximately 800,000 members whose mission is fostering spiritual growth, developing leaders, and advocating for justice for women, youth, and children in the U.S. and in more than 100 countries around the world. Today, as we look ahead to celebrating our 150th anniversary in 2019, United Methodist members are continuing to do just that. We are extending wholeness, healing, and abundance to others who are left out of God's table. We have formed a sisterhood of grace with the work that we do, and we invite you all to join us in this important work. As Concordia has done so faithfully in the past, we ask that this church family continue to support and pray for the mission work of the United Methodist Women. Thank you for letting us share a little of our story with you today. And now, if you would turn to Many Gifts, One Spirit, number 114 in the red hymnal.
Thank you. join me in the Thanksgiving prayer? Almighty God, you are the originator of mission. We thank you for your love and grace as we continue your work with the least of these. May we continue to experience you in deeper and deeper ways and to have the courage to act on that faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I've got two cards for Barb Holtberg. One is from last week, and one is for today. She had her knee replacement, is recovering well, and she's home and coming along fine. I hear she's got a militaristic coach. We have our list of prayers. I'd also like to ask prayers for my 99-year-old aunt. She's struggling with health issues, as any of us might if we make 99 years, but a very special woman to me, name's Dorothy. Also, within the past week, I am made aware of three young people who have died by suicide. I don't know any of them personally, but they're relatives of friends of mine. So that is a deep, deep loss. Are there other prayers? Let us pray. Holy God, we come together today to praise you, to worship you for the week that we have just walked through. You are the creator of all peoples on earth, and we give you thanks for the blessings and for the abundance that we have. For some of us, that abundance is joy and health. For some of us, it is peace and kindness. We thank you, God. And we pray for the peoples of this earth who suffer under the rule of regimes and governments that are unjust. We pray for those leaders who seem to care little for their own people and their needs. We pray that there is mercy and wisdom. We pray for the justice that this season of Epiphany brings to us. We pray for the light of God in Jesus Christ to drive darkness, misery, evil from all people. Hear our prayer, O God, as we pray for those who are oppressed. You are a just God. Your nature and your very ways proclaim you to be the compassionate God of all people. So we pray for those who are imprisoned, those who are hungry, those who lack clothes, those who have no freedoms. We pray for the church that we would always be faithful to the mission that you have given to us to reach out. We pray for the truth of your light. You are a God who cares for all people. We seek your grace and your mercy for those who struggle with not enough, for those who face diseases that could be cured with modern medicine, but they are deprived of those basics. We pray for family members who flee from their homes to find safety and security someplace else. And we pray for all of those who will receive these pillows and these blessings, these pillowcases. And we trust that those who have made them and those who have brought them have already received their blessing. We pray for the agencies who serve those who are suffering and the challenges that they face. We pray for people who are lost in this society, those to whom alcohol and drugs and gambling cause ruin. We pray for the hope of your light. And we pray for our youth, those who see no prospect of future, those who feel their only decision is to end their lives here. We pray for your light, oh God, for all of those who are defenseless. We pray to you, oh God, for those who are ill and face surgery. And this morning, we especially lift up Larry. We pray for those who are healing from surgeries and from illness. And there are half a dozen to a dozen of us right here. We pray for those who are bound by age or health issues to their homes or to care facilities. We pray for those who want to be home, who want to return home. We pray that they would have strength that they need to get strong, that they can be home again. We pray, oh God, for all of those who need your healing spirit, healing of body, healing of mind, healing of their souls, that we might all know how truly blessed we are. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Help us to see those around us who need help, who need courage, who need hope. For when we see them, we see you. We pray now as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
You would stand if you are able and join in the closing hymn, Pass It On, in the red hymnal 572.
Thank you.
join in the unison benediction. New every morning is your love, great God of light. All day long you work for good in the world. Stir up in us a desire to serve you, to live peacefully with our neighbors, to devote each day to your Son, for each day you make things new for us, through our Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.
Thank you.